Namaste, Sunil Rao here. Today, once again, I will briefly talk about Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a summarized version of the Mahapurana with a concise translation in English by Srimati Kamala Subramanian, first published in 1979 with successive reprints, and is now available as an e-book and can be downloaded on your Kindle. Srimati Kamala Subramanian decided to take up one of these sections, Isha Katha, touching on the others here and there. Sri Ghanshyam Das Birla, a renowned industrialist of his era, in his foreword to this translation says, while studying the Kathas, the stories of the great personalities and of the avatars and the parables, the reader as he reads the passages should amply digest them to know the true purport of the suggestions, the lessons and the indications behind them. These are not just embellishments, they have a deep meaning under the surface. So we start with the excerpts. Chapter 6, Yama explains. Man is endowed with the organs of sight, smell, touch, taste, and hearing. For him to enjoy the objects of the senses, that is to say, for him to see, to smell, to touch, to taste, and to hear, there is something inside him which makes these functions possible. That something inside the heart of man is the drashta, the seer. Man cannot understand the nature of this something inside him. He is so enveloped in the veil called Maya that it clouds his intelligence, and he is not able to realize the Atman inside him. We come to chapter 56, the excerpt. Priyavrata. In a cave in the forest, Priyavrata was conversing with Narada, and to him came Brahma. The cave glowed with an unearthly glow because of the presence of Brahma. Priyavrata at once stood up, and so did Narada. Brahma smiled at his grandson and said, "My child, please listen to my words very carefully. The Lord, whose commands we should all obey, and which are obeyed by all of us, had ordained that you should do your duty as king. This human body given to you is for a purpose. You are meant to live the life of a normal human being on the earth. Each one of us has been created for a purpose. We are helpless in the hands of the Creator. Look at the bullocks which plow the fields. They have ropes running through their nostrils, and as the farmer leads, so moves the bullock. The jerk of the rope is what he has to obey, and he has no power to act on his own. Even so, we are led by the Lord into whatever walk of life he has chosen for us. We are not free even to act as we like, nor to enjoy the things of the world as we like. We cannot choose pleasure or pain. They are sent to us alternately, or perhaps together or singly. We should not question why. We should bear them with equanimity. Man should live in the world performing the actions he has been created to perform, and he has no right to refuse to do so. However, if he moves without any attachment to the things of the world, he can be free of further births. He is then Jivan Mukta. He moves in the world of men as long as the Lord wishes him to, and such a man will view pleasure and pain like a dreamer views the world of dreams after he has awakened from sleep. Such a man will not acquire any vasanas which cause a further birth in the world, nor will he have to exhaust the vasanas, since his actions are all performed without any desire for returns. The man, however, who has no control over his sense organs will move from birth to birth eternally, like a man who has lost his way wanders from forest to forest. The six enemies, Kama, Krodha, Moha, Lobha, Mada, Matsarya, will always pursue him, and to add to the downfall and to increase its speed, his mind, his manas, and the indriyas, the sense organs, will obey the summons of the six enemies only too easily, only too readily. He will always be caught up in the cycle of births and deaths. A man who has conquered his senses and who has realized that he is none other than the Paramatman is the best person to live in the world of men. Detached as he is from the worldly objects, he will be the ideal man to move among men who have so much to learn, and this emancipated soul can help others who are sorely in need of help. The man who wants to conquer his indriyas should live the life of an ordinary man, marry, breed children, and at the same time try to conquer his arch enemies. Once he has subdued them, the perfect man walks fearlessly in the midst of men. We come to chapter 158, the excerpts again. Title is Yashoda Sees a Vision. When the Paramatma and the Jivatma are one with each other, then there is no disturbance in the equilibrium of the three gunas. But when the Jivatma moves away from the other, there is an imbalance in the state of equilibrium which had been holding them so far, and there is a movement in the state of the gunas. This is because kala becomes one of the factors. When the time has come, the swabhava of the jivatma causes the involvement of the atman in the world, and the manifestation of the world itself is a result of this imbalance. This throb is the state of the static gunas. We come to the rainy season, chapter 176. When night set in, the stars and planets could not be seen. The only light that could be found was the twinkling, uncertain light shed by the glowworms. It seemed like the Kali Yuga, when the Vedic paths would be forgotten and only improper and immoral ways of life would be evident. The frogs, which had been silent till now, began to croak incessantly all of a sudden, which brought to mind the parallel of young boys at their studies, who, when they find their master approaching, will suddenly begin to recite their lessons in a loud voice. Small and insignificant brooks and streams, which till now were unnoticed, suddenly filled up with water, and they resembled small men who had been denied in the pleasures of the senses for a long time, who had been denied the thrill of being rich, who, when they suddenly achieved these, behaved turbulently, without knowing how to curb their vain desires, and who did not know how to pull their reins on their wayward minds. We come to chapter 160, titled The Twin Trees in the Courtyard. Narada spoke. He said, "Man is visited by different types of mother, arrogance. A high-born prince is arrogant. A scholar will sometimes be arrogant. Rajoguna is often the cause of arrogance. But there is arrogance of a different type, different from all the others, and which is far worse. It is the arrogance born of Shri, wealth. Because with wealth man gets involved with women, with gambling, with drinking. And when such a formidable arrogance visits him, man loses all perspective and becomes blind and deaf to ordinary rules of decorum. Man loses his self-control and he becomes devoid of kindness. He deludes himself into thinking that this body is permanent. To satisfy the thirst of this body, he does not hesitate to kill. The king who rules the entire earth and the beggar on the roadside are both equal. When death comes, it equals them, and both are reduced to the same handful of ashes. But the arrogant man does not realize this. He kills, not realizing what is in store for him. This body belongs to the one who feeds it, to the father and mother who made it, and in the end, to the worms like ants and animals like the dog which consumes it. Only a fool will consider this body to live forever, since he does not know the difference between the body and the dweller in it, the deha and the dehin. To one whose intellect is clouded because of arrogance, the only cure is poverty. Only a poor man will know that he is equal to animals. A man who has suffered the pricks of thorns for lack of a better bed, whose face is weak for want of food, such a man will never wish another living being to come to harm. Even so, a man who has not gone through these tortures will not know the meaning of the word compassion." I hope that we remember what Sri Ghanshyam Das Birla said in his foreword to this translation, that while studying the kathas, the stories of the great personalities and of the avatars in the parables, the reader, as he reads the passages, should amply digest them to know the true purport of the suggestions, the lessons and the indications behind them. These are not just embellishments, they have a deep meaning under the surface. So I hope that you all will find a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Mahapurana, and enjoy reading various kathas, stories in it, and as you listen to these podcasts, I hope you leave your review, I hope you subscribe, and we will come back with more interesting books, stories, articles. You have a good day. Thank you very much for listening.